It's time for another season of The Palmetto Porch, an original podcast from Discover South Carolina. I'm Devin Whitmire. Join me as I get to the heart of what makes South Carolina such a great place to visit by speaking to the locals who make it so special. Premiering December 5th, find The Palmetto Porch wherever you get your podcasts. And for more information about our show, visit scpalmettoporch.com. It's time for another season of The Palmetto Porch, an original podcast from Discover South Carolina. I'm Devin Whitmire. Join me as I get to the heart of what makes South Carolina such a great place to visit by speaking to the locals who make it so special. Premiering December 5th, find The Palmetto Porch wherever you get your podcasts. And for more information about our show, visit scpalmettoporch.com.
Welcome to Sewing Out Loud, the official podcast of ZD Sewing Studio. Here are your hosts, ZD and Mallory.
Sewing Out Loud.
Hello, and welcome to the podcast. I'm Mallory Donahue.
And I'm ZD Donahue. And Mallory won't let me eat Cheetos while I'm podcasting.
This podcast is brought to you by Cheetos. And the Little Debbie Christmas cakes.
Which are really gross.
Shout out to Stephanie Bateman.
She was like,
I know it's true love when he brings these home. And I'm like, all right, putting it on the grocery list. Your mom doesn't like them. I like them. I don't really like Cheetos.
They're kind of gross. Well, at least Cheetos do something. They make a noise.
What do you mean?
They make a noise.
Well, those Christmas tree cakes are beautiful.
But they're making a noise.
Okay. So, like... Is that how you decide if you like a food? Like what kind of noise it makes?
Kind of. I like crunch.
Okay. Well, you know what can sometimes make a noise? Is when you needle felt.
That's right.
That's right.
So, and it can kind of almost be a crunchy noise. Especially if you break a needle.
Just trying to tie this in to like something timely. I believe this episode. Oh, this episode's going to come out on Christmas Day. I'm looking at the schedule.
Happy holidays.
Yes, happy holidays. You. Merry Christmas. I was going to be like, this is a good Christmas present idea, but that's when I get my best Christmas present ideas is on the day of Christmas.
That's usually when we're making them.
Yes, yes.
Well, Christmas Eve's a good day to make Christmas presents, too.
It's the best day.
Or it's even better if you don't have Christmas on Christmas Day, and then you find out what the people already got, and then you can match up.
Aha! We're going to talk to you today about needle felting and the different ways you can do it, the different ways you used to be able to do it and you can't do it anymore. We're going to cause you some machine.
A trend that you missed.
Yes, you may have missed out on this. Okay, so what is needle felting, you may ask? ZD,
And felting.
Yes.
Okay, like, you know what a needle is, right?
Well.
Everybody knows what a needle is. I mean, everybody knows what a needle is. Yeah, it punches through stuff. And felting, okay. Felting is when you make an unorganized.
I was going to say when you embed fibers together.
Yeah, it's like an unorganized.
Unstructured.
It's considered non-woven fabric.
And it's not knitted.
And it is a random structure. There's no real pattern to it. So it's sort of like these fibers get all sort of knotted together.
Well, so let's read the definition of felt.
Well, there you go.
One of the definitions of felt. A kind of cloth made by rolling and pressing, wool or another suitable textile, accompanied by the application of moisture or heat, which causes the constituent fibers to mat together to create a smooth surface. Oh, I love the use of the word mat.
Yeah.
Matted together, you know.
Like your dog. Coat yes. When you can't get it combed out, it's stuck. You got to cut it out. Yeah,
absolutely. It is it's like linked to the word filter. What origin?
Well, filters are usually non-woven.
Dutch vilt and English filter to felt. Love it. Love it. Okay. So it's fibers that just get like mashed together right. in some way. And actually, the first kind of felting.
And it is kind of like they're tangled.
Yeah.
But you come up with a flat. Usually, yeah. You know, well, unless you're making.
Well, we're going to talk about that. Exactly.
A Christmas ornament.
Yeah, you're yeah. felting things. Oh, my God.
Yes.
Oh, my God. No, we chose the best episode to record. I totally forgot.
Okay, do I know how to get Mallory worked up?
Oh, my God.
Do I know how to get Mallory worked up?
Stay tuned. For the best felting Christmas story ever.
Mallory has been pissed off about this for 4 years now.
Okay, so the definition of felt. Let's just calm down. Okay. All right. 4 years. It's got to be like 6.
No, it was when you were pregnant with
Zelda, who is 5 and a half.
It wasn't Zelda.
Yes, it was. I had Jerome with a different doctor. You guys are so confused right now.
Oh, you're kidding.
No, it's been so long.
That was Zelda's the doctor?
My heart
with Zelda?
Has been broken.
Oh, that's right, because you weren't pregnant on Christmas with him.
Shush.
Okay.
Oh, my
it's
God.
Zelda. It is Zelda.
All right. So.
It's when you tell time by when you birthed your children.
Yeah. Okay. So felt, the first type of felting that I learned about was needle felting. Okay. So, and I learned about needle felting personally. Like, I know you knew about this stuff before, but like the first time I ever learned about felting and needle felting was when Baby Lock came out with the embellisher.
Oh, I did. I thought you knew, like,
no.
You had never done hand felting
nope.
before that. Oh,
I, in okay. fact, okay. like, it kind of, I don't want to say, like, I was embarrassed, but, like, later on in life, like, I was felting.
So how old were you?
I was, like, what, 15, 14, something like that.
Okay.
I have the first thing that I ever needle felted over there in the office. So what the type of felting we're talking about today is when you embed fibers together with barbed needles. Mm-hmm. And the Baby Lock embellisher machine was a machine, I think the first one that came out was a 7-needle machine. And then there was like a 12-needle. Yeah. It was 7 and 12.
Is that what it was?
Yeah. So what this machine did was it had these barbed needles on a needle bar that went up and down just like your sewing machine does. Okay.
Yeah, the machine looked like a sewing machine.
Looked like a sewing machine.
And you controlled it with, you know, a foot pedal. So it was a very similar type setup.
So this was my introduction. So it was these 7 needles because that was the first one that came out. And you put 2 pieces of fabric under there, or fabric and roving, or fabric and yarn, or whatever.
Fabric and some sort of fiber.
Something. And you put it under there, and you pressed on the power pedal, and these needles went up and down, up and down, up and down, and they embedded it. And there was an article in Threads magazine about this machine and, like, painting with fiber, I remember, is what it was called.
Mallory was doing, like, portraits with
it. Yeah. So, like, the first thing that I have over there, it's, like, there's a little tree with a moon on a little square felt, and there's, like, a yarn border around it. And so I did this all by shoving these pieces of fiber under these needles, and they just went up and down, up and down. So that is how I was introduced to it. So these are still pretty two-dimensional projects.
Yeah, that is, yes.
Yes. Now, here's where one of the sad things in this episode comes in. You can't buy those machines anymore. And I was looking and, like, no one makes them anymore. Baby Lock used to make one, Janome used to make one, and, like, Bernina came out with an attachment
right.
that made your machine into a felting machine and all this stuff. And yeah, it's just
It was a trend that did not last very long.
Well, I don't know. I think it lasted like 15 years or something.
Well, maybe it did 10. I guess what. And it's kind of a shame. It's really a pretty. I loved it.
I know. We sold the embellishers.
I would make things if people come in and beg to buy.
We still have one.
We still have one.
Yes, we do.
So if you want one, you're going to have to probably buy it from a person.
Yes.
Like, not a store.
And
if you run across it, I guess you better grab it up if you can, because the needles will still be available.
Yeah. So someone posted in the group, they're like, I want an embellisher. I see it's not being made anymore. But it really seems like something someone would buy and then not want anymore and want to sell. And I was like, yeah, you're probably right. I think it's kind of a one-trick pony, artistic thing
yes. than, like, sewing can be more utilitarian.
Absolutely. Yes. I mean, it was a fun machine. Right. You know, you're not altering anything with the embellisher.
So,
you know? So that's one way of needle felting. I want to bring up, too, that there's that if you want a needle felt by hand in this two-dimensional way, there are little tools that will hold, like, I think it's seven needles again, or maybe it's five or something.
Well, they look just like the attachment. They look just like the machine. It was the machine. It holds them like five or seven little needles, like in a circle on this little tool.
Exactly. And what you do is you place your felt, you know, your fabric or whatever, on top of what looks like a car brush or a piece of foam.
Something that you can punch into and come back out of.
Yeah. And then you can apply shapes. And Derek saw these and he was like, oh my gosh, I want to do this with my students. And I was like, that's terrifying. Like,
yeah, because the needles actually.
Okay. The needles hurt.
And they're really sharp. Yeah. They're barbed.
Okay,
so
they're sharp.
They go through and they don't want to come back out.
Yeah. And they come out. And then when you do hurt yourself with a barbed needle, it doesn't just hurt. It feels bruised, like, deep down in there because, you know, you've really, like, messed with
it. You've really destroyed the tissue.
Yes, you've destroyed the tissue. Exactly. It's not – you wish you went through it with a sewing
needle. It's
not
something to do with a small child.
Right, exactly. Now he did it with, like, the fifth graders or whatever. Right. And so this is very much a surface design thing, you know. There are other things you can do with felt. We're not going to go into those too much because we're talking about needle felting. But, like, you can get felt and you can pull it over a hat block and you can, you know,
shape it with mercury.
Yeah, exactly. You know, what else can you do with felt? You know, you can, what was that thing? What was that? Nuna felting? What was that called?
Well, there's wool, felted wool fabric where people actually take woven wool.
Right.
And they do a process where they shrink it. You know, they use heat and water and that shrinks it up and you get this like matted felted wool.
And then
you make garments out of it.
There was this local fiber artist who did all this. Like, she would use a thin silk and embed the wool, you know, with a pressure water process, you know. I don't know if she did any needle felting.
It's just like a way to get the fibers to tangle up together.
Yeah, just get them to felt together, you know, to mat together. Yeah. So we still have one of these embellisher machines, and I just think it is so fun. And if you have an embellisher, I think I have a blog post on the website about how to avoid needle breakage on the embellisher. Mm-hmm. And really the key is to go very fast with your foot, because people would go slow with their foot, so the needles were going slow, and then they'd move their fabric too fast and break their needle. You break a needle by hand by going in at like one angle and trying to come out at a different angle, you know. So there is that. So that is flat needle felting for you. Okay.
There's also a tool that I've seen, and I don't know if I've seen one around in a long time, but I remember this from my youth. And it looked like a roller, and it had little pins on it.
Oh.
You know, and, you know, they weren't very long.
Now, that's
what, you know,
like,
what I'm talking about?
Like, that's what, like, a carder is.
Do you know what I'm talking about?
That would comb, that's used.
It kind of looks like a comb, but you rolled
okay.
over it.
Okay, okay, okay.
So it would, you know, entangle the fibers.
Right, right. So with this process, like, with the machine, those needles got to punch down into, like, an empty area.
They went down and through the base. Right.
Yeah. And so the hand tool doesn't have that, okay? And I think some people – I've seen some people punch on a frame before. But you have to put something under it. And actually, went at, like, back to school night, Derek had the felting tools out. And some parent just went right into the table and broke all the needles. Funny. I was like, I'll replace those for you.
Yeah.
So anyway, we're going to take a quick break and come back and talk about three-dimensional needle felting.
Hey, Mal.
Hey, Mom.
I heard you were easy.
Oh, no.
What does that mean?
No, it means what you really heard was, well, Mallory, your easy tee looks so good on you.
I should have known that it was something about something you made.
Like you said, you're getting into your golden years. Sometimes you know, mishearing things. It happens.
No, you're
right?
The one that mishears things. I know this. You make lapel pins about it.
Okay. So I am currently wearing an Easy Tee, and I wear them all the time. The Easy Tee is a semi-fitted short sleeve t-shirt made out of a woven fabric, and you draft the Easy Tee to fit your measurements by taking the Easy Tee class.
Well, how do I take this class?
It's an online class that you can watch anytime on SewHere.com. To purchase the class, go to SewHere.com/EasyTee. That's just EASYT.
Is this on my computer?
It's on your computer. It's on your phone. It's on your iPad. The class is divided up into short, easily consumable segments, some of which you may not ever need to watch ever again, but some of which you might want to revisit. So you have the ability to mark lessons as completed and also to star lessons so you can go back and revisit the ones that are most important to you.
And I can vouch, Mallory's Easy Tee is a lot easier than Mallory is.
Once again, go to SewHere.com/EasyT to begin your pattern drafting journey.
Sewing out loud.
It's time for another season of The Palmetto Porch, an original podcast from Discover South Carolina. I'm Devin Whitmire. Join me as I get to the heart of what makes South Carolina such a great place to visit by speaking to the locals who make it so special. Premiering December 5th, find The Palmetto Porch wherever you get your podcasts. And for more information about our show, visit scpalmettoporch.com.
Hey y'all, Darius Rucker here. You know, a lot of people ask me, what inspires your music? And one of the big things is a strong sense of place. That's why I love my home state of South Carolina and want to share the awesome things it has to offer. From the beautiful mountains down to the sunny coast, it's got it all. Not to mention two of my personal favorites, great golf and amazing food. Come see why I love this place. Visit DiscoverSouthCarolina.com.
All right, hand needle felting. So this is where you get into like those fun little figurines and like hand felted little owls.
You can actually build shapes and
yes.
make sculptures.
Yes, and you can buy like bases, you know, mm-hmm. for this. Like if you don't want to like felt from the beginning. Now, if you want to felt from the beginning, what this is done with is roving. Okay, so roving is like wool fibers that have been, you know, combed and
cleaned, probably dyed.
Well,
a lot of times.
I mean, some people like to like work with wool Rock. That's not cleaned,
right.
But not me. So
it really smells funny.
It does, yeah. And it, I mean, we had some
but
in the
shop.
But
it has linen on it.
It
and
also
it can
has
make your hands really soft,
like little bits of like grass in it and stuff.
Yeah.
So
anyway, sheep poop.
You can
whatever.
Get roving. That's we had some in the shop that was like still curly. Do you remember that?
Mm-hmm.
That was really fun. And once again, people are like hand dyeing this. People sell it. So you can spin yarn, you know, or you can felt it. You know what's a good base for roving? For like a needle felted thing is those wool dryer balls.
Right. Well, yes, you can. And you've seen felted pin cushions that are just big
there
ovals.
You go.
But the roving is combed apart. The fibers are combed apart, but they're not twisted.
That's right. That's
so,
right.
So, you know, in order to actually make a yarn or a long string, they all have to be twisted
yeah,
together.
Yeah, and actually...
So the roving fibers are not real long.
Yes, and there is yarn that would be classified as roving, and it's so funny because there are, you know, do you see all those really thick wool blankets out there now that are like the huge chunky wool? There are a lot of companies trying to sell you like just big roving yarn to make a blanket.
Oh, you mean where they crochet it in your arm?
Or on
is the
knit
hook.
It on your
yeah,
arm.
Yeah.
Yeah, or crochet it on your arm or whatever.
Yeah.
And I found a YouTube video, and it's like a mother-daughter team, and they're like, let us tell you why this isn't a good idea. And I was like, it's like us. It's like... They're like, I'm going to knit a swatch out of this, and I'm going to put it on my couch, and you're going to see a week later that this stuff has no structure, and my cat's going to lay on it, and you can't launder it. And I was like, oh, my
and
gosh.
Your arm goes through it.
I was like, these women are like me
Us.
And you, except in the knitting world. So I'm going to try and get yeah. a hold of them or something. I just thought it was great that they were debunking, you know, stuff. Okay, so Anyway, you're using this roving, and if you need to make your own base for something, you kind of just, like, ball it up, and you start punching. And you can start on one of those foam things or on one of those brushes, like building up a shape with a felting tool. Now, that felting tool with, like, 7 needles, you know, can be great for, like, bigger stuff. But when you're starting out, making that little shape, there is a pen tool that I really like. And I think it can hold, so it can hold 1 needle.
Right.
Or 2 needles or 3 needles. I think maybe.
And they're very close together.
Yeah, they're real close together. And it's a little bit more precise. So I kind of like it to start off a smaller shape. And then when you're at the end of a project and you're adding on, like, eyebrows to your whatever, or, you know, little eyes, they can be used as, you know, detail work. And so here's the deal. You're probably holding your little, you know, felted thing and you're hand felting it. This is where I have gotten myself
really yourself,
with
yeah.
the needle, you know. And so you know, you can work up your shape, and it's so – I just find this process so forgiving and fun.
Unlike Mallory being forgiven and forgiving about her one ornament made one Christmas.
So what Mom meant to say is, I've never forgiven someone from this felting story. Let me tell you all. So I was pregnant with Zelda.
And Zelda is now 5.
Yes.
And a half almost. Yeah, five and a half. She's 5 and a half.
So it's like this time 6 years ago, isn't or
right. Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Yes. Half a year before she was born. Okay. Yes. And I found just, like, this really cool gynecologist who is just – she's just so cool. Okay, OBGYN, whatever. And I was just so excited to have my baby with her. And she had an office Christmas ornament contest. And I was like, well, I'll handle this. Okay.
Right.
Yeah. So I felted a uterus. It was this beautiful
– with the ovaries and
wait. Yeah. Hold on. I'm not even there yet. Okay. Felted this beautiful pink uterus. Okay. And then I felted 2 ovaries. I made them white. I incorporated Angelina fibers.
Which are sparkly.
So I just want to bring that up. You can incorporate things into your felting that, like, aren't wool.
And they're like mylar.
Yes. Yeah. And so when I would do flat, like the embellisher felting, you know what felted up really nicely a lot was silk, right? And sometimes I
used to use silk flowers.
Yeah, silk flowers. Yeah. We would felt onto, like, a non-woven stabilizer that was real thick to do things like that. So you don't – it doesn't just have to be wool. Okay, so I just want
to
bring that up.
I used to felt onto canvas.
Okay, and then we made fallopian tubes. And I think I used, like, wire as a base, like an armature, and I felt it around them. And this ornament was so beautiful, and I was sure that I would win.
She knew she would win
the ornament contest, and I brought it in to my appointment. And the, like, receptionist person was like, "Oh well, you're gonna win," you know. And then I didn't win. I found out on Christmas Eve that someone had made, like, I don't know, like a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle ornament, and it won.
Well, and then there was, like, one where they took a picture of the staff and put it in a clear ball or something.
What?
And that won a prize.
The bleep.
Yeah.
I have been pissed off ever since.
Can you tell?
They didn't give me back my ornament.
That's it. They kept it.
They kept my freaking I bet they're still using it.
Yeah.
Oh, and then she, like, joined a practice, and then she didn't even deliver my baby. And the person who delivered my baby was, like, really not very nice and didn't appreciate my jokes when I was being stitched up, which is so rude. And I'm just saying, it just, you know, in terms of...
Aren't you surprised that Mallory even had another baby after that?
That I had another baby after losing the ornament contest. It was that sparkly ovaries.
I know.
What
the
hell?
They were on fire.
Oh, my God.
They were
ready
to pop.
They were shooting off eggs. You know, well, I was going to try and, like, okay, so here's the other thing you can do. You can build up these shapes, and you can, like, cut them apart.
Right.
You know, or something. So I thought about doing like a cross section of the uterus, and you could like open it and there'd be like a little baby in there or something, like get a little troll doll.
Right.
It would have been the perfect size.
That would have been great.
Maybe I'll make one.
Or one of those little babies from the King Cakes.
Yes, you know, yes, exactly. But like just
could have had it in there with its head going down.
Yeah, just like appreciate the injustice of that situation.
Well, there's nothing more appropriate than that ornament.
I want to know
who do you think made the decision?
Yeah, well,
like someone who didn't like uteruses?
Right.
Yeah.
One of the ornaments was like chosen as the winner and the other one was like random because you got a little prize. Okay. But it wasn't about the prize for me. It was about the prestige. Okay. So I think actually that the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle one like actually quote won.
I don't remember what
okay,
one, but
and
I remember
staff,
that other
the staff
one with
one
the picture.
The was the random one.
Well, and the, like, yeah.
So I wasn't
was,
as
like,
mad about it.
But I don't remember how they were chosen.
Well, this is what I'm saying.
Right.
I think the doctor chose the Mutant Ninja
like
Turtle. Why doesn't she like it? Were they like, we can't set? Because she was being like super hip. She had like a newsletter. She had like a Facebook page.
Well, and the thing
you know.
Is that it would be time, you know, it's past time. For the people in our world to
normalize uteruses,
not only normalize,
celebrate,
but worship and celebrate them.
Absolutely,
yes.
Yeah.
Whether they be jewelry or ornaments or a decoration, you know, on your T-shirt or whatever.
Well, I'm just still pissed
would
off.
Would you felt me an ornament, Mallory? No,
I would be honored to felt you
a uterus.
Yeah. Oh, my God. This is the I can't believe this is going to come out on Christmas. We couldn't have planned this better.
I know.
Like,
we didn't plan.
What?
We're very good at spontaneity, aren't we?
Okay. So, needle felting, it can be super fun. And there are
if
lots of kids
out there.
If anybody
wants to make a comment on this podcast, why don't you just, you know,
Mallory,
send
Mallory
her condolences.
Ornament. Yeah. Please send me a card that, what you know, like a... condolence card. Now I
believe they can do it in the comments too. It doesn't have to be a card.
I don't know.
You think you need a card?
Yeah, I need.
You want a card with a uterus on
I'm
it?
I'm still not over it, and I'm still.
Boy, I am telling you, we had to put up with her like for a whole week.
Well, so I was
just
pregnant. And I found
putting
out about
up
it.
Up with Mallory being pregnant is one thing,
and then I found out about
it. Lost the contest
on Christmas Eve. I remember standing in your kitchen, looking at my phone, looking at newsletter, and be like, guys. What? Yeah, I don't even have it anymore. Now, there is a picture of it. It's on the shop Facebook page, so I need to go back 6 years
find
and
it.
Find it to include here. But yeah, it's I'm going to make another one. Gosh darn it. Thank you all so much
for listening
to me. Maybe I'll put rhinestones.
This was the therapy.
I thought about putting lights on the fallopian tubes.
We finally had a therapy session.
Yeah, thanks for letting me release
Mallory
this.
Losing her
trauma.
Uterus.
What the hell? No, maybe I'll just stay mad about it. You know, it's fine. I'll just stay mad.
Yeah, why give it up?
Why
six
give it
years.
Up?
Why
stop
calm
now?
Down about it now?
All right, everybody. Well, Merry Christmas.
Could change your whole personality
right.
if you gave that up.
Yeah, I know. What would I even live for anymore? Did we paused for a break? Okay, yeah. Have a Merry Christmas. ZD, take it away.
So long and so happy.
Thanks for listening to Sewing Out Loud. For even more expert sewing advice, visit sewhere.com.
Hey y'all, Darius Rucker here. You know, a lot of people ask me, what inspires your music? And one of the big things is a strong sense of place. That's why I love my home state of South Carolina and want to share the awesome things it has to offer. From the beautiful mountains down to the sunny coast, it's got it all. Not to mention two of my personal favorites, great golf and amazing food. Come see why I love this place. Visit discoversouthcarolina.com.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.